Welcome to this week's sermon at Village Presbyterian Church. At Village, we seek to be shaped by the life of Christ, to practice authentic friendship, and serve the world. You're invited to join us at either our Mission Campus or our Antioch Campus. For now, we hope you hear a word for your own life in this sermon.
Our reading today is Psalm 34, verses 1 through 10. You can find this text in your pew Bible. Let us pray. Prepare our hearts, O God, to accept your word. Silence in us any voice but your own, that hearing we may also obey your will. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul makes its boast in the Lord. Let the humble hear and be glad. O magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he answered me and delivered me from all my fears. Look to him and be radiant, so your faces shall never be ashamed. This poor soul cried and was heard by the Lord and was saved from every trouble. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him and delivers them. O taste and see that the Lord is good. Happy are they that take refuge in him. O fear the Lord, you his holy ones, for those who fear him have no want. The young lions suffer want and hunger, but those who seek the Lord lack no good thing. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our Lord shall stand forever.
Amen. So, one of my favorite places in the world is the J. Mosley Tabernacle at Ferncliff Camp and Conference Center outside Little Rock, Arkansas. My wife, Juliana, grew up going to Ferncliff Camp, and ever since I have known her, Ferncliff has been an important part of my life as well. Every summer, she and I go for a week to serve as chaplains for the summer camp there. We have the privilege and joy to meet and spend the week with 25 or so counselors and about 100 or so campers. It's an absolute blast, and it's our favorite week of the year. So, this past summer, when Juliana and I were there, we were standing in the J. Mosley Tabernacle, affectionately called the J-Mo, an open-air pavilion of sorts, with open sides, concrete floors, and a beautiful wooden roof overhead. Juliana and I were in a last-minute huddle, planning worship for the kiddos who were not too far away eating their snacks. The best and worst thing about camp is that you rarely have time to plan. Everything is instinct and a willingness to go with the nudges of the Holy Spirit. So, we were planning worship, the songs we would sing, the message we would try to give, and honestly, we were both sort of freaked out. This thing, leading worship at camp, that we both knew ourselves to be called to and honestly pretty good at, suddenly seemed completely foreign to us. We had completely and totally lost our confidence. It was a Monday night, and so Sunday night, the day before, just about an hour after all the kids had arrived at camp, a huge thunderstorm blew through. It was loud, there was a ridiculous amount of rain, the sky was black, the lightning was unpredictable and jarring and scary. For many of these kids and counselors, they were not used to being away from home, especially during such a turbulent storm, and they were understandably shaken. And If you remember, Little Rock was very much still recovering last summer from a terrible tornado that many of these kids had lived through. This always unsettling thing, a thunderstorm while you're at camp, now had an added layer of recent trauma for these kids, many of whom had lost houses and were very much still recovering. So, needless to say, it was a weird night, and no one was calm. When it came time for Juliana and I to lead Vespers, which is evening worship, of course it had to be inside, which is always a bummer, because every noise is magnified, everyone immediately feels claustrophobic and hot and sticky, and everybody just wants it to be over, which is not the vibe that you're hoping to cultivate as the summer chaplains. It was a rough Vespers. Juliana and I never found a rhythm or anything that important to say. Everything that the kids were feeling that made it hard for them to sit still, we were feeling too, making it hard for us to contribute very much at all. Ultimately, it was a pretty failed worship experience, and as you do at camp, we pivoted to snacks pretty quickly. So, the storm went through that night. Next morning, we got up, we had a beautiful, perfect camp day, and here we were, Monday night, standing in the JMO, trying to psych ourselves up to lead worship again, with this memory of it going so poorly in our heads. As the sun was starting to set, the kids came and sat down around us, worn out from a beautiful and perfect camp day. The weather was amazing. The kids were getting to know each other. They were talking and laughing. That beautiful camp thing where exhaustion mixes with hot dogs, mixes with shared experiences to form these tight little families. The nervous, anxious noise of the first evening had given way to the warm, happy noise of new friends, new stories, and belonging. I looked over my shoulder, and just about 100 feet away from me, maybe less, in a little clearing between us and the lake, were a family of deer, a mom and two little ones. Here was the Holy Spirit come to help us. I turned back to the kids and I said, "Hey, there's the sweetest family of deer over here. Come look, but you have to be quiet." They got up so excited, wide-eyed, and we all watched these deer. All 100 of these campers, from 8 years old to 18 years old, stood perfectly quiet. For the first time, we could hear the leaves in the trees. I could feel the wind on my face. I saw not only the deer, but the lake and the forest beyond them. I felt that feeling you get when you are in your favorite place, doing your favorite thing. I was overwhelmed with joy. We stood there in silence together for probably more than a minute. I had my guitar with me, and the chords for 10,000 Reasons came to my heart. I began to play, and the kids joined me in singing, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, O my soul. Worship your holy name. Sing like never before, O my soul. I'll worship your holy name." Kids made their way back inside and sat or lay down on the cool concrete. We sang some more. We read scripture. Then we talked about what it said and what we thought it meant, how it might apply to our week and then to our lives beyond. We prayed. We passed the peace. Those deer called us into worship. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt God's name together, the psalmist says. We're beginning a new sermon series this morning, like Pastor Chad said, called The Ways We Worship. where we will slow down and take a look at each of the familiar elements of a typical worship service. And we know the big players in worship, the music, the scripture, the sermon, the peace, the benediction. But this morning, our task is to consider the humble call to worship. It's often one of the first elements of a worship service, and its function is simply to remind us, or through call and response, invite us to remind ourselves some truth about God that reorients us into a posture of worship that reminds us who God is and who we are, that settles our minds and our hearts and allows us to be open to receiving God's reassurances and challenges for our lives. Our scripture for this morning is Psalm 34. And the psalmist shows us a formula of sorts for worship. The psalmist tells us that worship is never something we engage in on our own. Magnify the Lord with me, the psalmist says. Whether it is the beauty of a mountaintop that calls us into worship, the stillness of the morning, the smile of a newborn, the laugh of an old friend, worship is always, always our response to God's goodness and faithfulness in our lives. It is our response empowered by the Holy Spirit, and it is always communal. When we are called to worship, we tap into the constant worship of creation. We join our song to the continual praise of God's Spirit all around us. The psalmist reminds us also that our praise and worship is not a matter of when, but how. The psalmist answers the question, when should we praise God? With a resounding always. I will bless the Lord at all times. God's praise shall continually be in my mouth, the psalmist says. So clearly, when is not an interesting question to the author of this psalm. But the question of how seems to matter much more. And the answer, how should we worship, what should our praise look like, comes in two parts. First, this psalm shows us that we worship God by turning our praise into a beautiful thing. Look to God and be radiant, says the psalm. And we know this to be true. Since the dawn of time, our adoration of the divine has inspired humanity's most beautiful work. Songs, hymns, poetry, paintings, dance. Something about God's beauty inspires our own, requires our own in response. Now, I am not much of a singer, and I've never been able to draw or paint very well. Poetry has always been confusing to me, and I've never even seriously considered dance. But whenever I am called to worship, whenever I am overwhelmed by God's goodness in my life, and inspired to respond in praise, I find that whatever I am doing, I sit up a little straighter, I show a little more kindness, I put in a little more effort, I double check, I tidy up, I give the best of myself to whatever it is that I am doing, because I am doing it for and in light of God and God's steadfast love. And I think that's what the psalm means by be radiant, be beautiful. I'm reminded here at Village, our deacons and ushers and greeters, their smiles, their handshakes, their attention to detail, their commitment to their task, that is beautiful to God. So that's first. The psalm shows us that our praise of God, when we are called into worship, our worship is to be beautiful. Second, the psalm instructs us to make special effort to let our praise for God's goodness be heard by those around us, specifically those who are in need of hope. The psalmist instructs us to make our boast in the Lord and to let the humble hear and be glad. The word translated humble here could also be translated as the poor, the afflicted, the weak, the suffering. There are places in this world, and there are times in all of our lives when we know this. We need the stories of others. We need the praise of others. We need to gather with others and let their worship carry us until our worship genuinely comes from our hearts again, like we know it will in time. Our praise is not just for us, the psalmist reminds us, and it's not even just for God. It is also an inspiration, a hope, an anchor of truth for our neighbors and for those around us who need to hear it most. So there's our formula. God's goodness and faithfulness call us to join into the ongoing praise of creation. And not only to praise, but to praise with beauty and devotion, with the very best of ourselves. Because this praise is not just for us, and it's not even just for God. But we should make special effort to tell our stories to those around us, especially those who need to hear it most. And what is the promised result of all this praise? What is the equal sign at the end of this formula pointing to? Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good, the psalm says. Happy are those who take refuge in God. Joy. Joy is the result. That elusive, all-consuming desire of ours is not so elusive after all. Joy is not elusive on the mountaintop or in a wide, quiet forest or on the first warm day of spring or the first crisp day of fall. Joy is not elusive when the morning stars come and sing for us or when the village choir sings as beautifully and as powerfully as they did last Sunday. Joy is never elusive when the bells ring for us here. Joy is not elusive when we praise. Joy is not elusive when we gather. Joy is as constant as the worship echoing through creation since the very beginning of time. It is our job to tap into it, to contribute to it. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Come, let us exalt God's name together. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this week's sermon at Village Presbyterian Church. Learn more about us at villagepres.org, and we invite you to join us again next week.